Patrick Dangerfield and his calf. So he's going to miss more weeks. It's the second time this season. What's happened? What's going on? And what's to be done about it? So we'll pick up our regular conversations on the big issues in footy from a Players Association perspective next week. This is a bit more specific on an injury front. Patrick Dangerfield, welcome back to the program.
Morning, Garrett.
What is your diagnosis?
Well, I'm not sure after reading what we put out as a club during the week, Jared, but I've strained my calf.
How did it happen?
There was no specific incident. It sort of just got progressively worse as the sort of fourth quarter unfolded, and I went out for a sort of a 3-minute stint, and I was like, this just doesn't feel right. And it felt quite similar to a few weeks ago. And then, you know, you eventually scan it and, you know, bang, there's a bit of fluid there, slightly lower than what it was, you know, a few weeks back, but enough that, you know, there's zero point trying to push through it, and it was right call to pull the pin at the time of the game. So it's basically definitely this week, and then probably next week, and given the fact that we've got the bye the week after, it sort of gives you some time to get rolling and really condition it. So it's right to go, and, you know, fingers crossed, there's no, you know, longer term little hiccups that happen.
So are you, is it a recurrence?
Well, it's the same calf, but it's in a different spot.
Right.
But I think, you know, there's no doubt there's a correlation there. Probably a challenge for me last week that I was in bed for 2 or 3 days because of the flu. So all of a sudden the conditioning that you're doing around calf strength and mobility, you lose. So hindsight's a wonderful thing, clearly. But you look back and go, well, there's the gap in that conditioning sense. And has that contributed to injuring it? Well, probably. But sometimes these things happen.
Are you concerned? So no old man jokes today. It doesn't feel like the time for it. As recurring calf injuries are a bit of a nasty thing. Are you a bit worried?
Not from an age sense. No, not at all. But I'm just frustrated because you get through preseason personally feeling really good, and then you have a few hiccups along the way. And I've been really very fortunate throughout my entire career that I haven't had too many sort of periods like this where it's been one thing after another. But unfortunately, that was sort of the situation last year, and it's been a bit of this year. So it's probably just mentally getting yourself in that headspace of, well, this has happened. Now it's control what you can, and that's your training external to playing to get back. So, you know, individually, you're right to go. So it's just wrapping, you know, my own head around that, and the fact that you can't necessarily push through some things that you could at one stage in your career when you're a little bit younger and you didn't have the same sort of little niggles at different stages, or you may have, but your body was able to recover quicker. So more the frustration, to be honest.
Yep. What about so there'll be a couple of notions here around modifying. So you talk about modifying what you can do in preparation, but modifying within a game. So the explosiveness has been the defining quality, I think, of your football. Do you worry that that explosiveness either will be diminished or is actually costly to what you do?
Well, there's no doubt it's costly because that's the mechanism, because put so much force through, you know, through your legs and specifically through your calf, your gastro, and that's the area that that gives way. But that's my game.
Yeah.
So it's conditioning or reconditioning to an extent of really loading that muscle back up, building the scar tissue around it, because I don't know any other way. And I don't think I could play the game in any other way. So because you just intrinsically, it's just, that's your reaction. Bang, you go. And you go, for me, full tilt, and then I need a breather after that.
Yeah.
But that's my, you know, that's been the reason that I've played the way that I have and for as long as I have. So I don't think you can go away from what, you know, is each individual player's DNA, certainly not in that respect where it's the explosive mechanism, but I don't think you can coach that out of a game, that's for sure.
Would you consider anything? So one of the theories being put forward is to lighten off as you get older. Have you heard that theory? Is there any merit in that? Are you starting to think about that sort of thing?
Look, I haven't. I've definitely heard it. I heard Kane speak about it over the weekend. And look, there is some relevance to it, absolutely, but not at the cost of the way that you play and that explosive element of it. So, like, if you're talking purely from a weight sense, mine really hasn't changed for, you know, 5-6 years. It's always been pretty much the same. Could you change? You could. Would it impact the way that you're able to explode? Potentially. And that's sort of the risk versus reward. And do you change your game as you get older to adapt to your changing body? Like, these sort of discussions that you sort of get to. And I'm assuming I'll probably be having at the end of the season, once you start to, you know, your career sort of ticks to a slightly different position than what it once was. But it's not something that I've really put a huge amount of thought into right at this very minute, because it's what benefits the team and how you play and fit within that. For me, it's being as explosive as humanly possible. And then for our runners and transitioners, for Isaac Smith, for example, it's totally different. It's a different role within the team. So it's sort of, it has to fit into those parameters, if you will.
So I am interested, not to sort of push you too far on football mortality or anything, but is there a necessary moment that you might face a little bit sooner than you thought, where you do, for longevity and for you what you want to do, where you might have to consider that balance in your game?
Oh, for sure. I think you're naive if you think you can just keep going along the same path and expect the same result. But I don't think I'm quite there yet. But certainly the older you get and the more issues that you have physically, it does start to play on your mind around, is there anything else that you can do to make that easier, make the game easier? The game's extremely difficult, but it's still gonna fit within you know, your own physical makeup. And for me, being explosive has been such a huge part of my game. It's been, you know, pretty much my one word for the past 10 plus years. You can't go away from the training to condition yourself for that, but the training for that is really explosive exercises. And for someone with my body makeup, those explosive exercises, they do tend to add physical bulk, because that's the training. That's what's required. So it can't go away from that, in a sense, that then you decondition yourself in that physical makeup to being explosive. So it's got to sit sort of parallel. And we've seen plenty of players throughout time, you know, strip themselves down. Hodgie's a great example. Lewis, another really good example at Hawthorn, because you do tend to get heavier as you get older, but mine hasn't fluctuated too much. But I look, potentially, I'm not pig-headed enough to say that I'll never try anything else, that's for sure.
What does Harry Taylor mean when he says it is likely that a couple of weeks of training now would better serve Pat and provide the conditioning base required for the remainder of the season?
I have no idea. When I read that, I read he's got a calf strain. Perhaps it's simpler just to say that. There's clearly some grey there. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure what exactly that means, but what I can tell you from my perspective is calf strain, rare occurrence of the same calf, not exactly the same spot, but the importance of, all right, you can't keep pushing through at a certain level. It's a bit of a reset. Use the bye, and then you know, hopefully back into it post.
So, is it possible? So, are you expecting a specialized training program on your way back?
Well, every single player that's not playing at the moment, that's out through injury, every program is specialized around, you know, their individual needs and whatever injury they're coming back from. So everything in that sense is specialized, and mine will be the same. It's just, it's building up a bit of the calf bulk. This is the same calf where I did my syndesmosis last year. So it is naturally, it has been smaller because of that injury. So it's like, well, the importance of continuing to condition that muscle, particularly after a couple of episodes with calf strains. So there isn't a reoccurrence around it, which is a balancing act during the season because you're trying to do, you're trying to get back to playing as quickly as you can.
Yeah. All right, this is basically the injury check-in today, and we'll pick up our broader conversations next week. But just let me get your – what have you been thinking about? I'm sure you saw Nick Riewoldt, the Sam Fischer scenario, the Players Association have been pegged with probably a little bit more responsibility than I would have imagined. But what have you been thinking about in that conversation?
Yeah, I think what – and it's interesting even saying and listening to – to Gary, Tim, Jonathan Brown as well, around their sort of views on Monday night. I don't think there's a real great understanding of what is actually accessible to players outside of the game. And we can't pick up the phone as a PA and call every single player. You, as an ex-player, have to be proactive in that sense and take responsibility in terms of your own career and what you're going to do post-football. Now, there's a huge amount of education that happens throughout your footballing journey, but post it, the services that we have are not limited to, but we've got the National Health and Wellbeing Services. They're free for all ex-players. There's financial assistance, once again, free for all ex-players, and that sort of, sits along the lines of the retirement fund and those sorts of things. Education and training, they're all subsidised. So once again, there's a portion of that that's paid for by the Players Association. There's a transition camp for every player that exits the system every single year, and ex-players that have finished up early and that, they're welcome to attend these sort of seminars. But you've got to, as a player, pick up the phone and be proactive in that sense and, access what is readily available to you. One of the big challenges with professional athletes is so much is handed to them throughout their footballing career. And when you do finish, there isn't the same level of support in that sense to go remind players, are you thinking about tomorrow, about next week, about next month, and where you're going to be, what you're going to do? So the services are there. I don't think players are always fully aware of what is accessible to them. And if any ex-player needs more information, it's the AFLPA website. It really well articulates what is available to ex-players, the contact numbers that you can get, the people that you can talk to. So it's readily available. It's just not always well known or well researched as ex-players.
All right, let's pick that conversation up next week, and we'll deal with the broader issues of the Players Association. So rest up, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks, Jared.
Patrick Dangerfield down the highway. Tim from Mansfield texts through. Tomorrow's headline, Waitley tells Danger he's finished. I tried to tiptoe around that as much as possible. Tim, tiptoeing.